Baptist Church this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and this is a very special day today. We're going to have ordination of three men that have committed their life to Christ in a more way, a more fruitful way, and I hope that everything goes good in the way that the Lord wants it to, because that's the way He created it. So we'll get on with our service this morning. Again, thank you for all being here.
Good to see all of you. I'm so thankful that you've made the effort to come out and to be with us today. It is a special day. And how many of you have ever been a part of an ordination service? Raise your hand. How many of you have never been in an ordination service? Raise your hand. Okay, see, that's why we wanted to move it to Sunday morning, because we think that this is a special thing. Not only that these men are becoming deacons, but even more than that, that they are answering the call that their Savior and Creator has put upon them. And we're thankful that God is not only still calling people to salvation, but He's still calling men and women to service and to go out for Him. So today, that's kind of what we're focusing on and what we're going to be taking part in. But before we go any further, do we have any words of praise or testimony today? Amen. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? In the way of announcements, I'm not used to this, so y'all bear with me. In the way of announcements, we want to let you know that tonight there will be no service tonight. You're going to get a double portion this morning, and we're going to have a soup and sandwich social afterwards, so there'll be no Awana, and there will be no service tonight. Next Sunday, we'll be having our Christmas meal after service, and everything will be pretty well the same. Awana's will be happening. We'll be having our night service. And then the 25th, that's Christmas, and it's on a Wednesday. So we won't be having services that night as well. But December the 8th will be our church. I done said that. December the 11th will be a monthly business meeting. December 14th, the senior adults Christmas party at 5. And then December the 15th, the children's program here during morning services. Is there any announcement that I may have forgot that I didn't mention? All righty, and one thing that we want you to know is that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open your life and your heart up to Him today, no one will do even greater things for you today. And I also remind you that this altar is always open. You don't have to wait for permission or an invitation. If the Holy Spirit is guiding you, or if you just feel the need to come to the altar, you are more than welcome to come, okay? I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to stand up and shake somebody's hand next to you, okay? Tell them you love them before we have a word of prayer. Okay, nobody told me they love me, so we're stopping. You had plenty of time to come tell me you love me, and you didn't. I know you do, girl. I'm putting a voodoo on you. No, you know where she spent her day yesterday? In Knoxville, Tennessee, in Neyland Stadium. And all that rain and all that was going on, asked me if I wanted to go. And no, and I finally asked her, are you really going to sit through all that? And I got two sick youngins today. And if both of them had went, I would say it's the type of football they watched that made them sick. But one of them was already sick before they went down there. It's good to see y'all every day. Good to laugh. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have given us brothers and sisters and friends and fellowship in Christ. God, I'm thankful that you sent your Son to die. I'm thankful that, Lord, we have no authority other than your blood and the blood of your Son and your power. So today, Holy Spirit, I invite you to be in our midst. I pray that you'll take control of our service. I thank you for these candidates and their family. But God, in all things, we know that without you, we're nothing. Without your power, we are powerless. And without your presence, this isn't church, but just a meeting. And so, Lord, right now, we give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Y'all stand and we'll sing number 486, Prophetory Hymn.
So many times, continue, Lord, to be you, fill this place with your Spirit. Lord, once again, we lift these that are up to come before you as these guys that have been called into deacons. I pray, Lord, you bless them, their families, and you can lead, guide, and direct them in all they do. Father, we do thank you for this friendship, this sister and brotherhood, the love we have for one another here in this place. God, we thank you for all you've allowed us to have. Lord, we do ask, as we always do, to use this offering for your purpose and your glory. I pray, Lord, you bless each and every penny of it, that we can use it in a way that would be pleasing unto thy way and thy will. Do be with us now for the remainder of this service, and lead, God, direct us in all we do. Forgive us for we fell short of thy glory, and draw us close to your side. For all this I pray and ask in Jesus' name, let us all say,
amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be in the house of God today. My instructions are to introduce the candidates to you. I can tell you with assurance, these are three truly God-centered men.
Amen.
Serving Christ is their purpose in life, and that's why they've stepped up and they're coming forward. So I ask you to keep them in your prayers, and like I say, they make this church very proud. I know I'm very proud of them. At this time, I want to introduce the candidates and their wives, and I've been instructed to tell them to come on up and take a pair of chairs when you come up, okay? Okay, and the other deacons come on up to the front row here. So our first candidate is Brother Scott Carter and his wife, Susan. If you all come forward, please. Also, Brother Keith Roach and his wife, Jessica. And also, Brother J.C. Starnes and his wife, Frida. Sit down. I'll ask the gentlemen if they would like to stand and say anything before the church at this point in time.
Thank you.
family's here. My brothers and grandkids. I thank you for my life. I just thank you for all you've done in my life. And I look forward to serving you.
Amen.
Instead of above ground, and I'm thankful for that. He watched out for me, he watched out for me, for my family, and he gave me a good family. And I appreciate that. He gave me the church family. I appreciate that. And I hope that I'll do exactly what the church wants, but also he's not going to save me.
I can tell you I've had a good relationship with each one of these men. Not only through Sunday school class, but even through the Yoke Fellow program. And I can assure you, these are men of a good countenance, and you can depend on them. And it's a blessing for this church to see these three men come forward. Thank God for it.
As each of these men have spoken, I couldn't add anything else to what Brother Paul has said about these men. I've known most of them their whole lives. Some of them through school, two of them through school. And Brother Keith, I've known him as far back as I can remember when he's in high school. And the character that these three men reflect, and the willingness they've served to serve a whole year with us deacon board, and been diligent to be at the meetings. We let them have input just like they were a deacon. We let them have deacon families to visit and to love on and to get through the hard times and loss of loved ones and our church members. So they've been through the gamut. They understand what it's going to be like to be a deacon. And some of it is good. Some of it is wonderful. But some of it is not so good. There's hard times in the church or situations in the church that we deal with that the church doesn't know about. And but I feel comfortable in these men because I would say, I've said to them in deacons' meeting before, we need more deacons, we need more yoke fellows in the church because I'm getting older. Brother Roy is getting older. I'm not putting you down, Brother Roy. It's good to get older because you're still living. As someone said this morning, I'm still above ground and I'm thankful. But I feel good in these three men. I hope more in the church will step up to take the yoke fellow role. That's a year being set aside to learn what it is to be a deacon. And I'm thankful that these three men have chosen to follow that. They could have said, no, I've seen what happens, and I don't want any part of it. And I would respect them just as much as when they said, yes, I want to be a deacon. But I'm just so proud of them and their families and so thankful for them and their wives and their families and just thankful to the church for nominating them, voting on them, and seeing the possibilities and the goodness in all of them. But the charge to the deacons' candidates are, do you wish the ordination service to continue? Yes or no? Okay, thank you. Deacon ministry is a New Testament idea. Paul addresses this in Acts. Timothy addresses this in his book, in the writing of Paul to Timothy. But the deacon is a hard office to fulfill. We have two other pastors I know of here this morning, maybe more. And they could share with you and attest that being a deacon is not easy. It's a chosen office in the church, but it's not an easy office as well. But in the book of Acts, chapter 6, Paul writes about this. I'm going to read that to you. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring to the Grecians and against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason for we should leave the work of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among ye seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit or ghost and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this their business, the business of the church. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. If you remember the story of Stephen being stoned to death later. I hope none of our deacons get stoned to death, but I'm thankful they're willing to lay their life out there. And the man full of faith, of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Phosphorus, and Nicron, and Timon, and Parsetians, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on their heads of those chosen. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Also, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he addressed some of this in Timothy chapter 3, what a deacon should be, what they should be like. And I think if you know anything about any of these men, or all of them, when you hear some of the words that Paul uses, you're going to hear Scott Carter, or you're going to think of Keith Roach, or J.C. Storms, because these words are echoed in their life when you see them daily. And as J. Vernon McGee would say, that's where the rubber meets the road, daily. We can come to church, we can look good and act good and talk good, but it's when we go out into the world, that's where the rubber meets the road. And Paul addresses this in chapter 3 in the letter to Timothy, his epistle to Timothy. And he writes in verse 1 through 7 in chapter 6 of these things. And he says, the qualities and characteristics, some of the same which have already repeated, but that these characteristics reflect J.C. and Keith and Scott, all three, what they should be like. The deacon ministry was begun in the New Testament. The disciples could not do all that needed to be done. The pastor can't do all that needs to be done. And also to remind the church that the deacons can't do all that needs to be done. We go on visitation, and normally that's been through the years since Brother Darrell was here, that most of the time it was the pastor and the deacons that visited. But you can visit. I know one of our pastors once said, if somebody comes up to you, deacon, and says you need to make a phone call to so-and-so and check on them, you just turn around and say, well, you thought of it, why don't you do it? because everybody in this church is in some ways a servant to each other, a deacon or a deaconess. You can love and serve on with other people and love on them just as much as the deacons can. We all have deacon families that we've assigned to each deacon, but we also serve other families. And I've told the deacons this, and the young fellows who are now going to be deacons today, that I would go with any of them anywhere, anytime they needed to. But their deacon families are their families. They need to get to know them and be with them and know what they're like. But the apostles here were trying to meet the needs, spiritual needs of the people, but they're also trying to meet the physical needs. And in Jesus spoke to this in his teachings about the orphans and the widows. At that time, there apparently were many orphans. We still have that today because of war in many countries. There's a lot of orphans. But also, they needed a benevolence for the church. In fact, our church has a benevolence committee. And we do benevolence for the needs around us and those who apply for help. But the apostles found they could not fulfill all the duties that was required. And I would say the deacons are going to feel like Scott, Keith, and JC, sometimes that you can't really fill the needs of what the church needs or wants. But the apostles found that they couldn't do that either. The 12. That's why they called the group together, because there was more members coming into the church. At this time alone, there was more than 20,000 members of the church, and they had to need to be served. And the disciples decided they couldn't do it all, so they needed more deacons. So by the time Acts 6 was written, Paul writes it, there was a great number of members in the church. So they needed a way to meet the needs just like we do today. I couldn't be a deacon to everybody in this church. It'd be too big of a responsibility. It would be, my time would be taken every day. And I don't mind my time because I signed on as a deacon 35 years ago, maybe something like that. But we need more deacons. We need yoke fellows. People willing to come and serve the church. Paul says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves and choose out 7 men of honest report." I think that fits. "Full of the Holy Ghost." I think that fits. "Who were and these were appointed to the business of the church." This word deaconess or deacon comes from the Greek word meaning diakonos, which means a servant or to serve. That's what Jesus said when he came. "I didn't come to be served. I came into this world to be a servant." And he served so greatly that he served to the end and gave his life for you and I so that we might know him. But deacons are not to serve the church only, they're to serve the Lord. And not only that, they're to serve the pastor. And not only that, they're to serve their families. Deacons, are you all willing, deacon candidates, are you all willing to do this? Wives, Susan, Jessica, Frida, are you willing to support, defend, and pray for your husbands as he serves Thomas Village Baptist Church through the office of a deacon? Thank you. These 3 men sit here as yoke fellows now, but in a few minutes when the pastor comes and we finish the service, they will be deacons at Thomas Village Baptist Church. They've been observed for a good while. Some of them I've observed for 25 years. Not as a deacon, but just church member in the work of the church. But the scriptures require, and I read you the requirements to be a deacon, and I feel that all these men do meet the requirements. And all these men will be a great deacon for our church. Because deacons come and go. Pastors come and go. But the church is still here. They're the ones that need to be served. So, we met, not myself, I was incapacitated at the time, but the pastor and the ordination committee met with these yoke fellows and talked with them and asked them questions, allowed them to answer questions and or to ask questions of them. And in our opinion, these men have met the need and met the requirements and will meet the needs as deacons in Thomas Village Baptist Church. So I recommend as chairman of the deacons that these men be ordained today as new deacons in Thomas Village Baptist Church, but they're not new because they have at least 1 year under their belt as far as experience. And I'm thankful that they still are willing to serve after seeing how difficult and how hard and what the responsibility is as a deacon. And I thank you, brothers. I thank you, wives, for allowing them this opportunity. So with that said, I'll turn it over to the pastor, but I make a recommendation that these men be accepted as deacons.
As we move on through this service, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sister Lynn, you told me I had to warn you if we were ever going to be an hour and a half, so I'm warning. No, I'm cutting up. I'm cutting up. Thomas Village Baptist Church, members of Thomas Village Baptist Church, you've heard the motion that we, by the deacons and by the pastor, that we receive Brother J.C., Brother Keith, and Brother Scott as deacons at Thomas Village Baptist Church. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. When you think about it, there's a lot of traditions and there's a lot of things that we wouldn't call them ordinances in our church, but there's a lot of things that we basically just do out of tradition. We don't know the reasoning behind them. I'm reading behind and I'm talking to people that walked the aisle when they were young as a child. They were baptized because they went to church and that was what was expected of being in the church, especially us who are raised in the belt or the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's just kind of what it is. And we would never say that we would want them to just do it because we wanted to, but we're proud of them when they do. And I think that sometimes that can happen, especially in our local smaller churches, that can happen in other areas of service. It can happen in, well, Mama was a Sunday school teacher, Daddy was a deacon, I better have some role there. Mama taught the choir, I did this, I did that. So they did that, so I better step up. But I want you to know this morning that I've been involved in at least three other ordinations of men, and I feel the more peace of these three men than I have any candidate that I have ever stood up and presided over their ordination. And I'm thinking, well, that word ordination, sometimes it gets caught up. We talk about the charge. See, in your bulletin it says the charge to the candidates, and now I'm supposed to preach the charge to the church. And what Brother Otis just did with these men and these women, he just laid out the obligations that they have. In taking on this role, in taking on this position, in fulfilling the call that God has placed on them, as you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they're saying that we recognize that there are obligations that come along with this position.
And that not only do we recognize that there are obligations that come along with this position, but we are willing to do our best to meet those obligations. We are sacrificing of ourselves, of our wants, of our rathers, of our time, all that. We're sacrificing because we feel that God would have us to be in this position, and we're willing to do it for Him. But look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. "And we beseech you, brethren..." Are you there? Okay. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their sakes, and be at peace among yourselves." It's a wonderful day in the life of Thomas Village Baptist Church because a legacy of Christ and godly men is being passed on, of godly families being willing to carry the mantle and to go forward is being fulfilled today. Each one of them have served as a yoke fellow alongside of myself and the other deacons of Thomas Village Baptist Church. They, along with their wives, are stepping up to answer the call of God, but also the call that the church has extended to them. Brother Otis showed us how in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, though the word deacon is never used in there, in those specific verses, it is clearly seen, the idea of the deacon role is clearly seen there. Before there was even a religious name given to it, the role was already established. And their duty, if you read through that, the idea that the women, the widows of that time, were not being fed properly. They were not being tended to. They were not being cared for. And remember, Brother Otis showed us, said that we can't preach the gospel the way we need to preach the gospel and then also take care of the needs of those that are around us. So what we have gone to do, what God has called us to do, is to find certain men that are able to meet the needs of our fellowship. That make sure they're fed. Make sure they're cared for. Make sure they're looked at. And that's not going to look the same in each event. It's going to be different at different times. So that the gospel can go further. And did you read this portion? I don't remember. At the end, you remember what it said happened because of that? It said that the gospel went further. And that the church grew bigger. You see, when God's men and God's women and God's people get where God would have them to be, then He's able to work. He's able to do great things. Many times in this is what it says in Acts 6 verse 7. You did read it. "So the word of God spread and the disciples increased greatly in number." In 1 Timothy, we see the description of a deacon. And I'm not going to read that, but I just want to read some of these. It says you to be respectable. The deacon is to be respectable. Not hypocritical, not a drunkard, not greedy for money, having a clean conscience in light of the gospel. When they stand in the gospel, that means they've done everything that they can do to be right in the gospel. That mean they're perfect? No, ain't nobody perfect. If you search hard enough, you're going to find something to complain about these new men. You're going to find a reason to complain about me. You ain't going to have to look hard to find a reason to complain about me. But that they do their best to make sure they're right in the eyes of God, in the eyes of their brothers and sisters in the town they live in. The Bible says that they're to be tried and proven, not a novice, not a beginner. Many times the beginner's on fire, but they ain't took a lick yet. The Bible says a righteous man falls, every man falls, but a righteous man gets back up. It says that they're to be shown as uncorrupt. Then it jumps over to the wives. Wives, it says, you also are to be respectable. Not given to gossip, slander, or talking unbecoming of a Christian. You're to have self-control. You're to be faithful. It goes on to say that husbands, you're to have one wife and you're to run your home well. And this is the type of man that God will use to be a deacon. And He puts him in a place of good standing and He gives him boldness through the Scripture of God. But you know what? These scriptures I read to you this morning out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. I'm going to read them out of the Christian Standard Version real quick. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, remember, we just read and we saw the qualifications of a deacon, and it was Roten. That's a last name around here, that ain't... see, there you go. There's something to be complained about me about, all right? I'm a redneck with redneck slang. It was written to Paul. I mean, it was written by Paul to Timothy. Can anybody tell me where Timothy was pastoring at that time? Thessalonica. He was a pastor at Thessalonica. Guess who Paul's writing to when he writes 1 Thessalonians? He's writing to the same church. And we see that in that letter to Timothy, he lays out the charge or the obligations that the men of God that are called to being a deacon, that they are to display. But right here, the same man who wrote the qualifications and the obligations of the deacon is now extending a charge to the church. That's what we see right here. You see, you don't get off scot-free today. That's why we went ahead and got you to vote them in before I come up here. Because you, Thomas Village, me, Thomas Village, we have obligations to fulfill to these men and to these women. We're not just to look at them and hang them out to dry, but we're to support them and to be behind them. And they need to know that we are behind them. So just as God, through the Apostle Paul, has given the obligation to these men and in their home, God also gives a charge to the church in which they will minister and serve. We, the members of Thomas Village Baptist Church, have God-given duties. I want you to look. You can break them down into three. The first one is seen in verse 12. To know or to give recognition to them which labor among you and are over you, to lead you in the Lord and admonish you or instruct and warn you. That's one. You're to know them. Number two, verse 13a. And to esteem them very highly or to have... to hold them with great value and great respect. And then the last one is in 13, the last part. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Let's look at that first one. It says to know them that labor among you. And Brother Otis hit upon this a little bit. But it means to recognize these men and these women. So what is the apostle saying there? Is he saying that we need to know who their mom and daddy is? We need to know where they went to school and what they graduated, what their job is, and know them so good that we need to know where their pews they sit in. Well, if that's true, all of these men, I asked them, I said, is there any churches you want to invite, anything you need to come and want to come? They said, well, most of them said, well, this has been our home. This has been our home. Y'all know these parts. But when he says, when God through Paul writes that we're to know them, he is saying that we need to recognize where these men are coming from. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. We're to recognize their heart. We're to recognize why they're taking this position. We're to recognize why they are willing to put this burden on their back. Now, in the eyes of the world, there are numbers of reasons to become a deacon. Daddy was a deacon, granddaddy was a deacon, so I need to be a deacon. Being a deacon can help my business or my political desires. As a deacon, I can control the pulpit, I can control the pew, and I can control the pocketbook. And I promise you, there are men that the only reason they're serving today is for self-gain and self-motive. But I've sat with each of these men, and to be a God-called, Spirit-called leader is nothing that is to be glamorous or to boastful in. You're on call to the church almost 24/7. You bear the burdens of the other people. These men are stepping up and saying, I'll be on call 24/7. I'll bear the burdens of the people of this body. There are times that you must fill a role that you're not comfortable in. Some of these men, I said, I'll do my best to never call on you to have to fulfill the pulpit. But I have confidence that if it happened, that they're able to. Some, I know that they don't like going into hospitals. And I'll do my best to keep them from that, but there's sometimes you just got to go. Many times you'll be misunderstood because of the decisions you have to make. And here is one. These men today, and believe you me, I've talked to them, they are stepping up and in doing and fulfilling the call that God has on them. They're basically putting a target on their back for the enemy. For the enemy. Over the past year, I have served with these three men. And to a person, Brother JC, Brother Scott, Brother Keith, I think you have never tried to push yourself forward in any matter or any situation that we've been involved in. Never one time. You've always sought the best for the body and what was for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the last few months, I've sat down and I've talked with each one of them. And I'll be honest with you, the first thing that I would sit down to ask him is this: I want to make sure that you're comfortable. I don't want you to know, I don't want you to be pushed into this thing. I don't want you to feel like you owe it to anybody else. I want you, if you need to, you can stay a yoke fella for the rest of your life. And to a point of them, all of them answered this. They felt the call to be a deacon. And their main goal was to be where God wanted them and to get the church where God wanted it. These are the men that are, and their families that are stepping up. We owe them something. We are obligated to them. So this morning, I charge you to recognize the heart of these men. To recognize where they come from. Hey, they are stepping up to take on the calling of the one true and living God. They love to see people saved. They want to see people saved. They love Thomas Village Baptist Church corporately, but they love each and every one of us individually, and from that love of Christ flows everything else. And this morning, as they set up here in their bodies, though their mouths may not say it, they are saying, I love Christ, and I love this church, and I will do what it takes to see it carry on for another generation. Now we have to recognize that. I don't think any of us could question that in each one of these men. But how do you get to know them? One of the easiest ways, if you want to get to know me, is to come eat with me. Feed me. Invite me over to your house. And just sit down and talk. That's what a lot of us have done, sit down and over meals and talked. But I want you to see the next thing, verse 13. First part, it says, to esteem them very highly. Or to have high value and respect with love for their sakes. As I mentioned before, the role of a God-called deacon is not one of pomp or privilege, but it is one of humility and service. And then you add deacons that are in it for the wrong reasons, those that view themselves as CEOs, presidents, or accountants of the church. And then, you know, lastly, we got to throw in a good deacon joke, don't we? Everybody knows a good deacon joke. What do you do if the head deacon is drowning? Throw in the rest of the deacon board. I messed that joke up. But you get the point. It was originally about lawyers. I got a bunch of them. But I'm going to tell you this, and I've told this to my wife many times. And she echoes it to me, that I feel God. I've been in churches where the pastor had every say, but he also basically had to tote it all too. I've been in churches where deacons were just yes men. Whatever the pastor wanted, he got. But again, the deacons did what they wanted to do. And I can say that I feel that the men that are gathered around me now, including these men, are the most sincere and do their best to live out the qualifications of a deacon. Are they perfect? No. Just like I'm not. But they do their best to fulfill what God has called them to be. In many churches, the role of a deacon is undervalued, seen as only a title or viewed with resentment. Think that they try, that the deacon board view themselves as trustees, and that they can say and whatever they want and whatever. Can I tell you this? And this is the heart of these three men, but also of the rest of your deacons, is that we are just representatives of the body. And we can make recommendations and we can suggest the way that the church goes, but bottom line, the body has say in what the church does. There is no dictator. There is no corporate board. We are a body and we are your representatives, and these men are being your representatives. I tell you what, they're stepping up to do something that most people wouldn't step up and do. Most people don't want the headache. They don't want to have to deal with all the situations that come up. They don't want to have to, they don't want to, what does it say in verse 12? Labor among you. That's what these men are saying. We are willing to labor among you. These men are willing to exert or use up energy and strength on your and my behalf. They take time from their everyday life to make sure that Jesus is lifted up in Thomas Village Baptist Church. They make sure that everything runs properly and smoothly. When we come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, cantata services and practice and all that stuff, these men along with others are making sure that everything goes properly. That the sick of Thomas Village Baptist Church, when we know, are checked on. And that the needy of Thomas Village Baptist Church, when we know, are taken care of. A true deacon's efforts and labors are not for self, not for recognition, or for greater control. Their efforts are that the Lord may be lifted up and that the membership may be blessed. You see, the charge, our obligations, is one, to know them, to recognize why they're doing what they're doing, why they're willing to serve, why these wives are standing beside them. But then also, we're to esteem them. Why are we just to esteem them? Why should we have such great value on them? Because of the job that they're willing to do. The job that they're willing to work. But also, in verse 12, he says also that we're to see them of great worth and of great respect because they lead you in the Lord and admonish or instruct and warn us. Praise God, the Bible talks about the watchman on the wall. How that as the security guard, he's to watch and to see if danger's coming. And if he sees danger's coming, he's to sound a trumpet. Praise God, that is a deacon in the sense. We're to serve by seeing what's coming down the line may not be the best thing for this body. Or maybe what's coming down the line could be the best thing for this body. But that takes wisdom and discernment and much time in prayer. But not only that, that means that these men are seeking God's direction for this church. They're seeking to build up the membership of this church. And I want to tell you something else. What they're doing today, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. What they're doing, Paul says this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. As these men step up here, they know that they're taking on the role of a servant, but also a lot of eyes is going to be on you. And they are laboring among us, but also they are leading and guarding us. They're telling us, watch me. If you don't know what to do, watch me as I watch him. So see, we're to understand where they come from. We're to recognize and to value them for the work that they do and the role that they play. And then lastly, and again, they're not going to be perfect, but they're going to get back up again when they fall. And the last one is the bottom of the last couple of words in verse 13. And be at peace among yourselves. As much as we make jokes about it, and also as much effort is tried to stop it, this is a true saying. There are many immature so-called believers in the Baptist church today. There are many that have been saved for years, but spiritually they're empty. And also, though it may be hard to believe, they are members of Baptist church today that find pleasure in causing a stir. They find joy in causing the stir. And can I say this? I believe that the church is to be governed from within. That means when the issues arise, that the body should take care of it. The body should handle it. The body should deal with it. But If the body will not, then it is up to the deacons and the pastor to stop it before it grows into a great division. That's when we'll be said, I can't believe you're picking on me. I can't believe you're picking on that. I can't believe you're doing that. That's what one half of the church is going to say. The other half is going to say, I can't believe you didn't do it sooner. Why didn't you do it a little bit sooner? So see, they're going to be misunderstood. We're going to be misunderstood. But praise God, if you know where we're coming from, and if you know that they're laboring not out of selfishness, but out of selflessness for the glory of the Lord. Listen, Ephesians says this, Ephesians 4:1-3. Paul teaches that as Christians we are to be humble, gentle, long-suffering while dealing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what we're here for. We want to see the church being one together, growing together. Listen, Peter also instructs almost the same thing in Chapter 3 of 1 Peter 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, give blessings since you are called for this, so you may inherit a blessing. Why would Paul say, recognize where they come from, realize that that they serve, hold them in value for the service that they perform among you. But then the last thing he says is to make sure, do your best to be peaceful. Because, listen to what it says in Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those that will give account. I just want to say that, you know, not many in today's world would step up to lead in a godly way. Not many will say, I will stand on God's word and do my best to see that Christ is uplifted and that Thomas Village be led in the way that it needs to go. Not many people want to deal with me. They don't want to have to put up with me. But these three men, they're saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to lead this church. I'm willing to go. They're saying, I'm willing to watch over the soul of the men and women of this church. That's why the writer of Hebrews says to submit, so because they will give account. So do that they do it with joy, or see that they do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. I believe this teaches me that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord as servant of Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I'm going to give an account of every situation, everything that went down in Thomas Village Baptist Church and how I handled it. Same thing with these men and the other deacons of this church. There's coming a day that they'll stand before the Lord for the service that they did. Let me ask you this. Which one do you think should matter more to us? That we make rank and file happy, or that we do what honors Christ? And I'll remind you this. No, I ain't, because I'm getting long. But listen to what it tells us. Recognize the heart, church. We've already given them our obligations. They've heard it for a year. But church, we have an obligation to realize the heart that they're coming with today. We're to hold them up with great value and worth for the role that they fill. And we're to do our best to keep peace, so that when the day comes that we'll give an account, that God, I can say, Thomas Village was the most peaceful church we ever served in. It had the most Spirit of God people that I've ever served in. So, you remember a while ago, Brother Otis, he asked some questions and asked for a response, okay? So I'm going to do that today, Thomas Village. Now, if you're not a member of Thomas Village, I don't expect you to respond. But if you are a member of Thomas Village, I do expect you to respond. But more than that, I expect you to live it out. Okay? They've got their charge, and this is what they said. We'll take that charge. Put it on us. Thomas Village Baptist Church, do you commit to recognize the heart and the purpose of these men? The heart they have for Christ and the heart that they have for the church? If so, say, I do. Thomas Village Baptist Church, Do you commit to valuing these men for the service they are undertaking on behalf of Christ and on behalf of yourself? If so, answer, I do. Let me add this one, if you don't, say it loud. Do you, Thomas Village Baptist Church, commit to making Thomas Village a place of peace, a place of unity, in an effort to help these three deacons as well as me and the other deacons? If so, answer, I do. If you don't, say it loud. Thomas Village Baptist Church, do you commit to praying for, encouraging, and following the guidance of three men as they step up to be deacons of Thomas Village Baptist Church? If so, answer, I do. If not, same answer. All right. Thank you, Thomas Village Baptist Church. Thank you, men. At this time, we're going to ask if all the ordained men would come down here because it's the time for the laying on of hands. So all the ordained men, if you would come sit here on the my right side. Brother Otis, would you divide the chairs up for us right here? And we're doing something a little bit different today. We're going to have the candidates for deacons on the right-hand side so we can go through the laying on of hands. But also the Bible teaches us that two become one when they accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. So as we, if y'all would, gentlemen and ladies, stand up with me. We're going to have three chairs over here that the men are sitting in. And every ordained man, whether it be pastor, deacon, whatever, we're asking you to come and join in the laying on of hands today. But also we're doing something a little different today. If you're married to an ordained man, or if you have been married to an ordained man, you know the role of his wife. You know what he goes through. You know what happens. So we're going to ask the three wives to come sit here in these three chairs. As the men sit in those three chairs. Ordained men, if you would, gather up behind our men today. That means come on right now. Ordained women, well, you're not ordained women, but you ladies who have been married to an ordained man, I'm going to ask you to come and gather around our ladies and to pray for them. If y'all would be seated, fellas. If you would, come and line up behind Brother Johnny, if you would, men. And what we're going to do is we're going to have Brother Kay start us off in prayer. And when he finishes praying, he can go and take his seat if he'd like. And then we'll just pass it on down the line until we get to the end. Ladies, when you're done praying, y'all can go be seated, okay? But I'm going to ask Brother Kay if he would start on Brother J.C., and begin us in prayer immediately as he moves. Brother, you do it as well. Okay? And I'll wrap us up.
Father, we ordain these men not on our authority, but on the authority that you've given the church to set aside men who, Father, have certain qualifications. And, Father, we have tried them, and they meet these qualifications to be men, Father, with wisdom and full of your Spirit. I thank you so much for them, Father, their willingness and their answer to the call to come and to serve. Now, Father, I lift to them to you and their precious wives. Now, Father, Satan will come against them. As sure as they've taken a step of faith, Father, Satan will come against them in some way. And I ask, Father, now that you have your hand of protection about them, Father, that you would push aside, Father, every encumbrance, anything that would prevent them from serving you as you've called them to do. Bless them, Father, I pray. I thank you. I love these men. It's such an honor and a privilege for me to serve with them. Thank you, Father, for loving our church and providing for our church the men that it needs to serve and to lead by serving. I praise you in the name of my Savior. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name I come to you today thanking you for these two men, for Brother Keith and Brother Scott and the friendship that you've given me with them already. But God, I thank you also for the kindred spirit, the Holy Spirit that unites us. And with also with Brother JC today, God, I thank you that you've called them into your work. You've called them into your kingdom. God, right now I pray, ask you, Holy Spirit, that you give them wisdom in the Word and understanding. May the words leap off the page and the truth spring up like a fountain inside of them as they read on a daily basis. And when they come into a quiet time, Lord, that they'll have to ask you to stay your hand as you draw them so close and lift them up into heavenly realms to your throne. But God, I pray the Holy Spirit protection around them and around their home. And Sister Susan and Sister Jessica today, Heavenly Father, Lord, God, that you'll just be with them. And God, that you'll grow their homes, you'll grow their families, you'll take their homes and their ministry and make it a trophy of what God wants to do in the lives of His servants. And if they're willing, you just turn it all over to you. But God, I thank you for these men and I thank you for their role. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Brother Otis, if you would. I want to thank all of you for being patient today and being a part of this. And now it is my duty and my privilege to present to you our new deacons of Thomas Village Baptist Church.